a very big fan of anybody that was on active duty that's doing anything in the arts. Like right now, you know, other people doing stand-up comedy. Brian Simpson, he's a Marine. He was on the podcast before. He's killing it. He just did a bunch of shows with Letterman. You know, you can watch him on Netflix. Roger Strokland wrote a book called Darlings under the pen name Bill Regnet, which is pretty much like a horror story. It starts off with, you know, basically these two people, they kind of meet up. There's a street fight. It gets crazy. I don't want to ruin it for you. But anyways, check that out. It's called Darlings by Bill Regnet. Realistically, it's by Roger Strokland. And it's also like the first part of an ongoing series he's putting together. With that being said, this podcast is with one half of the Trash Panda Challenge Coins guys. It's really neat what these guys are doing. They're both on active duty. There's one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and I'll let them tell you how and what started. But to see somebody on active duty doing what he's doing, getting the stuff together, building the rapport in the community, and putting out some good quality coins, it's pretty interesting. And hopefully when he's retires, whether it's one more tour, three more tours, whatever, however it might be, hopefully he keeps with this, man, because it's really neat seeing him progress from just a couple things he posted that from a Facebook group that was kind of a funny joke to turn it into like some really awesome coins. All right, so anyways, we'll just hit the CB song. Check this out. Much love. Thanks. Bye. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Sammy.
Sammy.
Oh, Sammy Planis.
From?
Originally from Jersey. Moved around a lot. Active duty.
From Trash Panda Challenge Coins.
Trash Panda Challenge Coins. Okay. We're on Instagram. We have a Facebook webpage and a Facebook private group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's been the podcast. Thanks for listening. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, what I think is really cool is like I happen to be doing some shows in New York and around the vicinity, and you are here. I didn't know that. You and I were talking for a while. I seen some of the stuff that you've put up on Facebook and some of the people that are listening and watching in right now. I'm sure these guys seen it too, and it's pretty cool, man. Like you had the Trash Panda thing going on, and which in the first class hot mess or one of those, like it was like first class.
Yeah.
Facebook group thing, and it was just a running joke, and then it turned out to be like a coin that you put together, and now you're in the challenge coin business, and you know that's as close to the military as you can get is the challenge coins. Like, how did you get into doing this?
So with being in the first class hot mess group, you know, Jen, she was the founder of the group, and I got an invite into that, and there was a running joke of we need a membership coin, we need this, that, or the other, and nobody wanted to start it. So I linked up with a coin mentor who I work with, and he was into coins. He makes his own coins.
Right.
So I got some tidbits, some advice, and I came up with a couple designs. And one of the things I noticed was coins have changed. They have definitely evolved. They're no longer the simple rounds. And to stay relevant in the coin world, you need to evolve your designs.
Yeah. Like what they say, you know, stay current, stay relevant. Stay relevant, stay current. Yep. You know, hell yeah.
And so a lot of us with Power Rangers still a big thing. And with the Hot Mess Facebook group, we adopted kind of the Trash Panda or the raccoon as a joke.
Right.
I decided to take that and turn it into some coins. And it started out with the green one that you caught interest in a couple last year, right. Since we've been started talking, communicating, and
I missed out. Whenever the blue one came around, that's the one when I was able to get one. Because like I think was that like the second or the third round or something.
That was the second round.
Okay,
that was the second.
Because I thought that was awesome. I'm like, oh, they're not fucking kidding. You know, because like a lot of stuff's kind of like a running joke, and then you had that. And I'm like, they're not kidding. They're legit making these. And then you start doing the, I'm sorry, it's closed, but the next round, please let me know, and I'll keep you in mind. And you did.
Yep.
And, yeah, and it's cool, man. It sits right next to, before Master Chief Delbert Terrell was the Fleet Master Chief. He was the Force Master Chief, and you know, for the Seabees. And so yours is sitting by the Force Master Chief. It's right there, so it's side by side.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
And it's right by Master Chief Delbert Terrell's, so it's pretty cool. So when I walk by, it's on my thing in my house. I walk by at least every time I need a cup of refill of coffee. So I see you right there, man. That's cool. And then like, it evolved though. Like you instead of just doing one, you do multiple. Like, I think another thing too is a lot of people don't understand is it's just not like a command. Like before, once upon a time, you'd have it'd be the coin just from a command or a specific person from that command. Now it's, you know, whatever the hell. So like, what are some of the other ones you've produced?
So some of the other ones I produced, I took a inspiration from The Lion King and Miko from Pocahontas.
Yeah.
And so we did one with Pride Rock. That one is out there in the community. I did another variant of the Trash Panda truck. And then we did Batman inspired. Okay. So there's one out there with a glow in the dark bat signal for first classes. With Batman, Robin, and you know, Batgirl, and then and then after that, started to get a lot more serious with the designs, more thought into it. Since unfortunately, he's working right now, but my main artist, Chris Malahona, we got into it. He was originally buying coins, and then you know, we just started talking more and more, and he started to come up with designs and art, and then we've put them to test, and they've been going good so far.
Nice, man. And then like, how many different times do you do variants? Because that's another thing too that's really interesting to me, because you'll see a coin and it's like, all right, now we have like this and we have like this other one, and then there was like oil drop or something like that, where it's like it looks actually like oil when it's in the water.
Yeah,
that I never even knew what the hell that was until I started seeing it on coins.
So that's that variant, that's considered an oil drip,
right?
Which means if
oil drip,
know, that's oil right. drip. So it literally looks like oil on the ground on the concrete, where it's all shiny rainbow colors, things of that nature. And the reason why you do the variants is to keep interest in that specific design, and it creates a desire to want that coin specifically.
That's cool, because I'm a comic book guy. Save the comics. I'm a comic book guy. So it's like, that's what a lot of times they'll do, is they'll have multiple covers, and then some are just specifically numbered. Do you guys do that? So say like you have oil drip, but we're only doing 50 oil drips. Do you do anything like that? Or
so for this recent one, and I do have a gift for you after this. And
okay.
We'll give it to you. I did do some oil drips, but those are only, you know, for... We have criteria in the background that not everybody knows about, to how you'll get that oil drip.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, amongst us, you know, me, Chris, and some of the people behind it, who we have some criteria for people to kind of get the oil drips, you know, free of charge, just as a thank you for the continued support.
So, if you keep holding your mic that way, it's going to pick up everything from over there. That's why I keep doing
that. Gotcha.
I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm just, you know. But the thing is, too, ladies and gentlemen that are watching this on here, I want to let you guys know that we're doing this in a hotel lobby. Once again, I did one not too long ago in a hotel lobby before, too. And a lot of times you'll pick up a lot of things that are going by. It's funny because there's no swimming pool next door to all this. Because before, you have people running around with the little ring, and then you go back and forth to there, and it got crazy. So just to let you guys know, if you're hearing anything out there, or in here on the podcast audio, that's why. So with you doing these coins and stuff, you said, I remember we were talking a while ago, and you said it kind of helped you out with a little bit of depression, and it was just like, you know, which is really cool, because not that you're depressed, that part's not cool, but I'm saying when people find a something that helps them out, like for me, you know, 20 years, I did 8 deployments in 20 years, and not all of them were in the nice places, if you know what I'm saying. So comedy has been my outlet, and it's also what I love doing the most, stand-up comedy. And you found the coin thing. Now, how did this help you?
So finding a coin thing was kind of an accident, so to speak. I've always received like round command coins, and I've always wondered, how do specific people get all these coins?
Right.
And then my coin mentor, you know, he brought his stuff in, and he's all these crazy designs of things I've never seen, and I had to really come up to speed with what the coin world was about.
Yeah.
And so when I created the first green Trash Panda truck, and that came with the fact of everybody in the group had wanted a coin. So a lot of us, we were Power Rangers fans, things of that nature. And I decided to just combine a garbage truck with a little bit of the Power Rangers-esque going into it. And that was a good first try. The coins have definitely evolved since then. But what really helped with the depression cycles here and there was when I first transferred up to the New York area, my wife and kids were still in the DC area.
Right.
So whenever I didn't have to work the weekends, I would make that weekend drive back and forth going to from New York to DC.
Hell yeah.
So versus getting upset about the traffic, the New York and the hustle and bustle, I would use that time to take a look at my surroundings, take a look at the design, and start picturing where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do next. And I may not have had an inspiration, you know, while driving, but after I got home, I relaxed, a coin idea would pop up in the head.
Right, yeah.
And I would just put that to the wall. I'm like, all right, that's another idea. And how do I make it with pop culture S to keep everything relevant?
Well, that's cool. I mean, yeah, an artistic outlet. That's what's really big. There's a air traffic controller I was talking with at the Comic-Con in San Diego, and she has that. She does all kinds of art. I'd love to get you two together. I'm going to give you two the information after we do all this and try to do one of those like Facebook messages or something where it's like, hey, so-and-so. Yeah, she does the art. You do the coins, and that way, you know, get you guys together so it's all veteran-based, and which I think that'd be neat. But something that just pulls your mind away from the bullshit, because a lot of times people don't realize that, especially us as men, and service members, we don't realize that everybody else is going through shit too, because we think we're drowning in our own problems, but we don't want to tell people, hey, I need some help, you know, and if you need help, it's just reach out, you know what I mean? But it's not as simple as that. You know, a lot of times you need to find a different avenue, like you did, like I did, and a lot of other people do, is if you don't find that other avenue, like it might be woodworking, it might be metal, or metal, Heavy Metal Magazine, by the way, threw that plug in there. It might be something like that that really helps you out, and it's cool that you found this, man. And like, when did you go in the Navy?
Oh, man. I joined the Navy back in August of 2003.
Okay.
So fresh out of high school, I turned 19 about 2 weeks before I shipped off to boot camp.
Oh, right on.
And then I decided to become a corpsman.
So for those who don't know, houseboat corpsmen, that's like Navy doctors, basically, in a sense, you know, on the medical side. And so that's really cool. Like, was that your number one pick you wanted, or did it just happen to be somebody was like at MEPS being like, hey, these are the jobs we have open for you?
Well, growing up, my dad was a Marine.
Okay.
My dad was a Marine from about 79 to 82.
Yeah.
And so.
Thanks, Mr. Trash Panda.
So with my dad being a Marine, he told me all these stories about a corpsman and my grandfather who was served in the Army around World War II time frame.
Right.
He told me how a corpsman ended up saving my grandfather's life from having a heart attack. And then from the time I was about 16 years old to 19, I was an EMS. I ran EMS.
Okay, cool.
Howard County, Maryland.
Now, was that like part of your high school, or was it just something you did off to the side?
So when I moved to Maryland from Jersey, New Jersey, that's where I grew up and raised. I didn't know what I wanted to do yet because, you know, city life, there wasn't any much aspirations.
Right.
You either fell into a wrong crowd or you left the city.
Yeah, yeah.
So my parents, we moved to...
Corner boy criminal, man. That's what else you got?
Exactly. Yeah. So we moved to Elkridge, Maryland. And then from there, I got into the health services program at Long Ridge High School in Columbia. And then I was either going to go into food service because both my parents were food service, but then I saw something about first aid, CPR, things of that nature, and that was the first thing that clicked. And I got my first aid CPR certification.
Nice, man.
And then I met a friend of mine in Algebra 1 class, and she was a volunteer firefighter. And so we got into the conversation. She invited me up to the firehouse, and then the firehouse paid for the training. I did the EMT basic training on weekends.
And how old were you right at this point? 16? 16. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
16 years old. So from about February to about June of 2001,
yeah.
I went through the EMT basic course. And then for about 3 years, I ran volunteer EMS. And then followed the rabbit hole since my dad told me about the corpsman.
Right.
And the Navy recruiter showed up at my high school. I was like, yo, what can I do with this? If it was either corpsman or nothing. And so I was able to get corpsman after going through a Navy recruiter.
That's cool, man. And then what we call that was job locked as a recruiter, because I did 3 years as a recruiter. And that's like, if you don't, and also since your father was already military, that's awesome, because you can go in and you can be job locked. A lot of people don't know that. And sorry, recruiters that are listening right now, but you can go into having that and be job locked. Say, hey, look, man, this is what I want to do. This is fucking it. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't have it, fine. You know, I was that way with welder. I wanted to be HT, and I stumbled into steelwork. No clue what a CB was. And then my grandpa was like so proud, like, oh, CBs, those guys did all the runways. When I was in the Philippines, they did all the runways. And I'd hear cool stories. But so that's awesome. And getting back into that for you. And also, I was a welder coming in, so I had a lot of knowledge in, you know, the construction field as it was, and I knew how to read blueprints and symbols and all that. Was that beneficial for you with your background with the EMS going through A school, like with all that stuff already?
Oh, absolutely. A school has completely changed now okay. from when I went through. The years that I went through A school from 2003 to 2004. It was really strictly EMT-esque paramedic type knowledge right. versus the nursing, what it's kind of shifted to now. So for about a good three quarters of the way, I had a easier time in core school.
Okay.
A very few tests I had to study for. It all just came natural.
That's cool, man. Yeah, because when you can just like look at this stuff and like do it in your sleep, you're like, you're asking me this? Like for you, it's 2 + 2 = 4. For somebody else, this is advanced algebra because they've never dealt with this shit before. But for you guys, you're like, oh, this is ABCs, vitals. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, IVs. No problem. Boop. You know, yeah, that had to been cool, man. After the school, where'd you go first duty station then?
First duty station was Oak Harbor, Washington State.
Okay. Definitely not Oak Harbor, Ohio.
No. Oak Harbor out in Washington State. That was first duty station, and then from there as a
was
little...
there, staying still there in Washington, was that like a ship, or was that like a clinic or a hospital or anything like that?
So being TAR/FTS,
okay,
we pretty much go to reserve centers. So at the time, there was a reserve center there.
Okay.
But we also supported some of the outlining units. So as an E2, I got to deploy to Simbach, Germany for a couple months. So I was out there supporting an aviation unit and a Marine Corps aviation unit. So
like for FTS, that means full time support, right? Cool. Just trying to make sure we got people. Like, all right. I just want to make sure it wasn't something like we can't hear you. You know what I mean? Like, those are what I always worry about, is like if they can't hear on this thing. But so for FTS, that's like full time support, right? So full time support. What's the TAR mean? I forget.
Training and administrative reserves.
Okay.
So, to break down what it's the original concept is, it's reservist on permanent active duty.
Right.
That handle the medical readiness or all the admin and medical readiness for the reserves. So when they transition onto active duty, there's a seamless transition where they come in trained and ready to fill the gaps.
Gotcha. And that's like where a lot of people don't understand is that there are reservists that they are on active duty. They might be a reservist, but their job is to still be full time. You know, that's full time support, literally, right? So how was that kind of a challenge? Is it the advanced cycle like better or worse, would you say? Or about the same? I don't know.
Earlier on, it was a lot better. It was quicker to advance, but now as everything is, as we see in the current trends right. of advancement, everything is a little harder to advance.
So basically, like during wartime, it was probably a little bit easier, and then like during peacetime, that's like how it was for CBs.
Yeah.
Like for us, it was kind of like an accordion force. Like during I should caption, or I should trademark accordion force. But no, it's like, you know, during war, we stand up a whole other battalion, you know. So we had 9 CV battalions. And then after, like, the war starts winding down, it went from 9 to 6, you know. And then it was just like, all men for themselves, and women, you know, for those that are going to bitch because I didn't say that. But, you know, it's crazy how that works out, man. So we went from there, Oak Harbor, Washington.
Oak Harbor, Washington.
And then where would you go from there?
From there, I was on the USS Boone. It was a frigate out of Mayport, Florida.
Okay.
So I was on there for about 3 years. Did a deployment with NATO under NATO guidelines, and then another deployment doing counter-narcotics, working for Southcom.
So you guys were taking everybody's Oxycontins from? No, I'm kidding.
I'd say the pure coke from Colombia.
Yeah, okay, coke. Cool. That's crazy, man. When you guys did counter-narcotics, like, what did that entail?
Really just patrolling the Caribbean and receiving the intel that was fed to look for specific warning signs and things and movements. And
gotcha.
Once they met the criteria, then that's when the ships took action.
Jeez. So yeah, you guys were basically hunting those guys. Do you have SEAL teams on board and stuff like that, or?
No SEAL teams. It were more some Coast Guard teams and
gotcha.
At the time some volunteers from the ship who acted as the boarding teams.
Because I remember, like, pre 9/11, we're down, like, going to Puerto Rico, and then a lot of the team guys down there, that's what they did, is they would go after counter drugs. Basically, it was just like they would go after all the people that were selling, you know, what not selling, but shipping throughout, you know, bringing it up from Colombia and that whole area. So you guys were in Mayport, Florida, so it probably would have been, if they didn't shut down the Puerto Rico base, huh? That probably would have been the shit that was in Puerto Rico.
Could have been.
I'm assuming.
So that was about 2008 time frame.
Yeah.
So the
Puerto Rico's been closed for a long time by then, because I think they closed that in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, man. And then that shit get crazy. I got distracted.
Yeah,
no. So you got that. And then after the Florida stuff, where'd you go?
So I stayed in the Florida area, and then I went to work at the Reserve Center in Hialeah in Miami. So I was out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for about a good number of years.
All right, shout out to the Florida Panther fans. you're from Sunrise, or you just lived in Sunrise?
I lived in Sunrise, and that's where I met my wife. My wife's from Davie, Florida.
And that was during the whole that time frame.
That was that time
frame. Dope, dude.
When I transferred.
Good people. And then now she's up here. After that, after the whole Sunrise of Miami, that whole area, what did you do there? You worked with the...
So I worked at the Reserve Center in Miami. And then after I picked up first in 2012, I was supposed to go with the FIBCOM to work with some mutual people.
Yeah. Speaker, we were talking about him. We'll mention his name. He's a good guy. We don't mention bad guys' names on here because then, you know, there's lawsuits involved. But we'll talk about Speaker. I'll say nice guy. Good people. He was our corpsman when we were at I was at ACB 2 at the time, and he's just a good dude. Like, there's some people, I'll say it in a way that people understand. I'll say it in code. There are certain people we took interest in, good and bad.
Yes.
And we had common language for those people. And you know, good guy. And then also, like, I think Borderlands video game came out. So we would, like, every once in a while we'd play that. So anyways, shout out to Doc Speaker. He's a chief now, right?
He's a chief now, yeah. We actually got back to working together. So
that's so cool,
work,
man.
And talk on a regular basis again.
Good guy.
So it's kind of come full circle.
Give this guy an early promote on his next eval. So that's cool, man. Yeah, I'm glad he's a chief, because he was a second when I met him back in at the FIB. And, man, it would have been cool if you would have made it there, because the FIB was it's, you know, rest in peace, because that battalion is actually going to go getting decommissioned, I think, March 25th.
That's sad.
So, which is sad, you know.
That's sad. That's real sad.
But at the same time, is it, though? No, it was a good time. There's some really good people. I mean, it was weird, because you're in a command that has, like, a skipper that's just like, really? They let you be in charge of people, to, like, a skipper that's like, wow, this guy is on it, you know, and that... I won't mention names, because remember, we don't talk about the bad, only the good. And moving right along. After that, where'd you go? Up here, or was that...
So after...
Oh, D.C., right?
No, after that, I ended up in Tampa again.
Okay.
But
shout out to the Tampa Bay Lightning Farm. Yeah.
But after being canceled from going to the FIB, the detailer, or the person who writes the military orders, she was like, you could either go to another reserve center or go support the Marines. And it kind of circled back to my dad being a Marine. I'm like, well,
definitely, man.
Let's see what this is about, because that's kind of what every corpsman's idea is, to eventually do one tour with the Marines.
Yeah.
And so ended up going to Tampa, going with 4th Tracks.
Okay. What's 4th Tracks mean?
4th Assault Amphibious Battalion. So if you think about it, they're kind of like floating tanks that go into the water.
Those are cool, because they open up the back door and they let everybody out, and then they got to swim back to the beach, and they get back in and they go do it again like 20 times in a day.
10 out of 10, do not eat an MRE before going in the water with them. It will not make it. It will come back up.
Okay. Like while you're in the water too. That's the...
Yeah. It's gross.
Man. Yeah, it was funny because like Okinawa, my first deployment was at the Owasi Seawall, and then I think it was Camp Schwab, or maybe it was Hansen. I forget which one it was, but we had to do some concrete pours over there. So we went, or concrete placements over there. And it was basically for landings for those to go in and out of the water. That was really cool. And so that had been pretty fun. After the, you know, anything significant from that tour? Well, I mean, you know, the whole tour was significant, but
yeah, the whole tour was significant. That's where, you know, we start as first classes learning our loss.
Yeah, man.
Learning about loss to where you start, where everybody will end up losing some juniors. Don't ever wish upon anybody, but you may lose a junior sail on that tour, and I lost one on that tour.
Yeah.
You know, due to mental health reasons.
And that's the thing too, where a lot of times, you know, it's not easy to talk about. Just the other day, Nisbet, he was a builder in battalion with me. There's a GoFundMe, by the way, and I didn't mean to, don't want to throw that GoFundMe on people, but for real, there's a GoFundMe for him, because same thing, had some mental health problems, took his life, wife, kid, left behind, and that's the whole thing, and it's on my Facebook page. Please help out his wife and his kid, because when people do this, it's a lot of times it's unexpected. They've been thinking about it for a while, and they never reached out, and that's like we were talking about previously, is if you have some issues, man, you got to fucking like let people know. You got to bring this up, you know, and even if you don't bring it up, at least reach out and just talk to a friend, just to talk to a friend, because nobody wants to, you know, have to call somebody's mom or see on Facebook that a friend of yours that you serve with, especially, you know, like passed away, you know. So sorry about your pal, man, you know, especially when he's a junior trooper of yours, then it stays with you forever, man. That's never going to leave you.
I recommend always to reach out whenever you do have something going on, especially when you have something going on. Find somebody that actually cares, that that will not only go up to bat for you, but go up against some of the toxicity of the old ways of mindset that where, you know, you man up and things of that nature. There are outside resources. Shout out to Grant, who was a big suicide awareness prevention guy. Retired NCC, who has a big social media follow.
Nice, man. Throw the site out there. What is it? What's the site?
He's on Instagram and Facebook. It is Grant Kahn.
Grant Kahn.
NCC Kahn.
Okay.
He's a big proponent of, you know, and this is where a trade I picked up from him was, you know, reaching out to commands to force the sailors if those commands don't want to listen.
Right.
You just do what you need to do to take care of the sailors, because at the end of the day, equipment can be repaired, but, you know, our sailors and our people around us are the most important.
Well, that's the thing, too, is just like, for mental health, we need to do the same thing that we do with sexual assault and prevention, which it's gotten better to be able to report it and people can come out and talk about it. A lot of times people are like, hey, man, there's more going on now. It's like, no. There's not more going now. More people are reporting things that are happening to them because they don't have to fear reprisal, you know, and that, which is a good thing. And also they have to have that same thing when it comes to the mental health side of the house, because nobody wants to lose their job because they're not feeling good. You know what I mean? That sucks. That's a real shitty thing. But, you know, so those sandwich bags, I hope they don't pick up on the microphone.
I know, but they sound good, though.
I know, right?
And her fat boy's getting hungry again.
So, oh, snap. So, all right. I'm like, man, I don't want to keep you for too long, but I'm like, it's cool because we're at a good pace.
Yeah.
We're talking well, and it's like, it just feels like we've been here for a long time, not in a bad way, in a good way, because we're covering some good shit, I think. So, with that being said, with him being reached out, and then what else happened on that duty station? Anything else? You said it was first time being a first, right? So you're learning some shit.
Yeah, definitely first time with the Marines. There's a big learning curve. And then by the time I got comfortable with that job, it was time for me to transfer. Then I went to AVT school, which was out in Pensacola, Florida for a couple
months. What's that?
You're able to do flight physicals.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I'm able to do flight physicals for Navy pilots, air crew, things of that nature to make sure they're qualified.
What does that entail? That has to be some pretty cool shit, right?
A lot of exams, eye exams, ear exams, blood work, EKGs, things like that, and then try to fix whatever might be negative on the reports so that they can fly.
Yeah.
Or support the aviation side.
That was like, I've had friends that, they were corpsmen actually. Doc Winslow's his name. He was in an MCB-3 when I was in 5. And he was telling me about some people that didn't want to report concussions because if you had a concussion, you weren't allowed to have some kind of flight study or some shit like that. I think it was those tests.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if you had a concussion, you can't, you fail one of those tests automatically, I guess.
Don't remember what it was, but sometimes when it is the concussion stuff, they do take extra precautions for it. I think it's more TBI. TBI instead of the concussions.
And this is also late 90s.
Yeah.
Things changed a little bit since then.
Things have changed a lot.
Yeah, man. Shit, man. It's crazy because like pre-9/11 versus now, it's just, it's hard to believe, you know. Speaking of which, we're in New York City, speaking of 9/11. Yeah, happened not too far from here.
Yeah.
It's somewhere like within just blocks. Crazy. Man, I tell you what though, like, working with corpsmen, I always had fun because that's like the people that like the Marines respect the most, you know. And it's just no matter what, corpsmen are always and CBs always treated with so much respect by the Marine Corps. I remember in Iraq, I had a steel shop, so we would have like they'd come in, that like they hit an IED or something like that. They'd have another camp that took forever for them to get their truck in and out, sometimes up to a week. And they'd come into my shop, would cut the hole, patch it up right away, get their metal back on the road. A lot of times it'd be like, look, I can't do it now, but we'll get to it. You know what I'm saying? So come back in like 3-4 hours or whatever. And then hang out. We'd be drinking soda pops and freaking, you know, eating. My grandma O'Brien always sent me Twizzlers and beef jerky. So we'd be sitting, drinking Coca-Cola, eating beef jerky, fixing up these Marine Corps trucks and gun trucks. I'll make these little baskets so they can put their chew and their freaking bullets and all that other fun stuff on the top of it. And there's always some like poor fucking looking lost Lance Corporal running around, hey, where's HM1 O'Brien? Because they don't realize that first classes have more than two letters in front of them, you know.
Yeah.
They just automatically think, man, Everybody's an HM1 because they're so used to calling their doc HM1. So it's just like, no, I'm an SW1, bro. And you have to explain. It's like talking to people with Alzheimer's. You're like, you have to explain the same thing like 30 times a day. Like, no. See, they're corpsmen, so that's what HM means. SW means steel worker. That's what I am. You know, I always thought that was funny. I always loved to work with those guys, man. So do you have the same feeling working with Marines, or are you getting like kind of burnout on them?
Oh, no. Every time working with Marines, it's always new.
Yeah.
Always a new experience. Is right now I'm with the infantry side of things.
That's the best because shit talking, you know, like, yeah, you don't have to be too PC when it comes to that stuff.
And then when you get your other corpsmen who support your unit, you know,
yeah,
it's not that often where we all get together. So it becomes more of a kumbaya shit talking kind of,
yes, yeah,
kind of fun morale raising.
Cause event. That's gallows humor at its finest, you know? Yeah. So. The hell? I was just double checking. Hi, guys. Huh. All right, sweet. I was wondering. I was like, please don't go away. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being there. I can't read that from here. But anyways, so whatever you said, I'm sure it's important.
It says, Obi also plays a doctor on TV.
I played doctor in a lot of places. All right, anyway. That's what it says? Okay. And then it says a lot of other people watching. That's cool. Love you. Ah, oh, Jen.
Mama Panda Jen. She showed up and commented.
Ah, cool, man. Oh, we got some good stuff. We'll have to actually visit some of those comments here in a minute. Yeah. Anyways, where were we? We're in Florida still, right?
Yeah.
So, Florida still. What else happened on that?
Nothing significant after that. I transferred to the DC area, moved the family out there, and I was in DC from 2017 until 2020.
What command were you at DC in?
Navy Reserve Center, Washington, D.C. So it's one of the biggest reserve centers that the Navy Reserve has. It's considered one of those super-sized ones. We supported about 3,500 reservists that were attached, but because we're in the capital region, we got more than that.
And then also, like, D.C., like, you're pulling people from, like, what, Virginia, Maryland, like, all around. So that's, like, had to be, like, a major hub.
It was.
So
we had one doctor, one chief, and then there was like a staff of 13 other corpsmen to handle all that workload.
And then so when you have, since you're dealing with reservists, God bless you guys for doing what you do, because you're taking a day off from regular life to work with us. And for us active duty guys, I'm retired, but for us active duty guys, this is our everyday life. You guys are pausing yours and coming to do this. And there's always a bullshit rivalry, which I love it. You know, the rivalry between active duty and reservists, because when it comes to, when you're downrange, then it goes away. You know, I love working with NMCB 26, which is decommed. I was in 40 at the time, which is also decommed. But they were like some of the best, hardest fucking workers, man. They got it. They knew what was up, and they busted their ass out there. But I was always kind of curious about this. And since you're a corpsman, you could probably answer this question. How many people actually show up to go on like a drill weekend with like a broken hand or something like that, to be like, I just did this weekend? Does that happen often?
It tends to happen right before PRTs.
PRTs. For people who don't know what PRTs, that's the physical readiness tests.
Yeah.
Or PFTs would be the physical fitness tests. But okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's when it.
So it's not like that, just an occasional, like, happen to accidentally just do that. It's like, okay.
Yeah. That's when we would be busy the most, is right around the physical fitness type.
Yeah, and it's like, I can't do planks now. For those that don't know, they got rid of push-ups, and they use planks now. You know, and that was, like, probably a big pain in the ass back in the day. It was like, I broke my knuckle. So, I'll try and turn this thing on so we can see some of these comments.
Yeah, so the big thing what people don't realize about the reserve world, too, is that reservists kind of are special. They're the reason why, you know, there's an area in the Navy that I work in, is because specifically with some of my guys that I work with, you know, I have one kid who's an E4 right now, but he's he works for the Long Island Railroad as an electrician. So he easily makes close to, you know, six figures.
Right.
But then comes in on drill weekends to, you know, be part of Navy, be part of the Marine Corps Navy team, and he gets that reserve E4 drill weekend pay.
Which basically, he ain't making shit.
He ain't making shit.
Yeah, he's making like, how much? Like, probably like 200, not 200 grand, but
maybe.
Definitely in the six figures with the railroad, if he's been doing it for a long time, and then he's fucking making absolute dick. Like nothing.
So that's where kind of you got to know your people. You got to kind of respect what the reserves do, because they come in for the uniform and the service.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's definitely not for the pay. Like, he's one that when he comes in, helps me on the weekends, and we go to the field and do the, you know, the shoot guns and hear things explode. He loses money coming in on the weekends. So there's knowing the people and making sure they get to where they need at in the military careers and their civilian careers.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, when you're serving the military alone, you're not completely doing it for the money. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you might do it for the stability of knowing that you have a trek coming in, but when you're doing it for the reserve shit and you got other jobs going on, it's funny too, because I remember we had two guys in the reserve side of the house that worked with us when I was in 40. We were in Kuwait at the time. And they work together. Now, the first class and the second class were each other's boss, but the second class was the boss in the civilian world, and the first class was his, you know, was his worker. So it was really funny seeing that dynamic. He's like, I'm the skipper now. I mean, I wish that phrase was around back then. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because, like, I'm your skipper now. That would have been funny.
Yeah, you definitely see that dynamic where some of these guys, you know, they're CEOs, like, on the outside.
Yeah.
But then they're coming in to, you know, do the reserve stuff on the weekends. They're almost at the lowest pay grade, depending if they go officer or enlisted.
It might be like people like dominatrixes. They're like, man, I just want to be dominated a little bit. So they're like, that's what I'm going to do. Let's see here. Try to see. Do you want other PCs to see this? No. So, ladies and gentlemen, on the audio side of the house, I'm trying to hook up my laptop so I can check out some of these questions. Might have some cool ones coming in. I don't know. There's been stuff happening on the video side. For you, on the video side, we'll get to you. Promise. All one of you. It's fine because they'll say one, but there'll be like 20 people watching.
Yeah.
It's so weird how that works out. All right. So, DC, and then, like, how long was that?
That was three years. That was 3 years from 2017 until, you know, 2020.
Okay. So, you've been here 2 years then now, huh?
Yep. I left DC around August of 2020, and then I reported to the Marines here on Long Island.
How's this going, this command? Challenging? Well, maybe that's a loaded question. Let me rephrase that. Are you still enjoying working with the Marines?
How's that? I am 100% still enjoying with the Marines. In my 18 years, I've been doing it.
Yeah.
This is one of the few commands that I've been at where they've been 100% supportive with everything that I've had going on.
That's cool when you get that going on. Instead of somebody up your asshole, like, trying to check you and every, you know, they're like, hey, what's going on? And then you got, you know, Doc Speakers over there too. Like we mentioned, good guy, by the way. And earlier promote evals. So, like, no, but you got somebody like him. And one thing I liked about him from when we were younger troops, that's so crazy how the Navy is such a small, like, group of people, you know, like, talking about Doc, you know, Doc Speaker. It's just, like, people like that. It's like you serve with there's so many people you serve with. You don't get this anywhere else, you know what I'm saying? I was telling somebody yesterday about not understanding why we're so tight, a lot of the military people. And it's just like, look, there are people in this world I would totally take a bullet for, but I never want to see again a day in my life. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many people I've served with, and I'm like, I'm just happy they're alive, but I never want to talk to them again. But at the same, but you know, and there's a few people like that. But at the same time, if anything went down and you needed something, you know, you would call that person, be like, yo, dog, hey, what's going on, man? Or the second they needed help, all that BS, that goes away. This is my boy all over again. You know, it's such a weird dynamic.
It is. They'll be your 3 a.m. phone call if needed. Even if you have that kind of, you know, work beef, so to speak. But if that 3 a.m. phone call comes in, you just need to vent, yeah, or somebody there, they'll pick up the phone.
Because they automatically go from somebody that you can't stand to being your brother all over again. You're off today. What'd you do? Did you just play hooky to come hang out with me?
Who, me? Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
We actually were given a 96.
I was going to say, man, maybe we shouldn't have gone Facebook Live if you were skipping work.
Nah.
You'd be like, hey, I'm sick. And then you know, one of your bosses who I'm actually friends with, like pops up and sees you on a Facebook Live talking about trash pandas.
No.
Stickers and stuff.
We were given a 96 for the summer AT that we just did at 29 Palms.
Oh, nice, dude.
So there was a lot of work leading into it and a lot of work that went in during that 3 week exercise.
So, like, what all goes into those exercises then? When you do what was it called again?
ITX.
But what does it mean? What's ITX?
Oh, ITX means integrated training exercise.
Okay, so that means you're using other commands or?
Other commands. So this
other
is
other branches of service or just
Navy and Marines. Yep. So you use different elements. You use the infantry side, you use the logistics side,
gotcha.
Use the aviation side. So a whole group of, you know, selected commands come out every, the exercise goes on every year, but this was my year to do it. So we just go out there, we converge, and we do exercises of using everything from the from the AVs to the aviation to actually simulate what it would be like a ground combat assault into a city and all these things of that nature.
Hell yeah.
And that the thing about 29 Palms is, like, it's such a weird area, like, because of the people. You have, you know, your Marine Corps guys, hardcore, hoorah, hoorah. You have those cats, but you also have all the hippies that are going to, you know, drop mushrooms and eat mushrooms at Joshua Tree Forest, or maybe go to Pappy and Harriet's and get a bowl of chili and watch a band. You know, it's just such a weird mix of everybody. I love it.
Yeah,
you know?
29 Palms. It's definitely a hidden gem.
Or as we like to call it, Stumps.
The yeah. Stumps, yeah.
Anything you want else you want to cover about your career so far?
It's definitely had some ups and downs. Yeah. I'm 100% satisfied what I've done, where I'm headed to, and, you know, what may be left for me to do. You know, there's definitely going to be life after retirement.
Yeah.
And let's see where that goes.
Well, that's the thing, too, that's cool with what you're doing with the coins, especially, because, like, you have that. And a lot of people, they don't have an identity after the military for a little bit. They have to figure it out. And you've already started to figure that out on your way out. You know, so, like, whether on your way out you do another command or two after this, you know, who knows? Or you retire right after this command. Either way, with doing the coins that you're doing now, you know, that's pretty freaking cool, man, because, like, you're figuring stuff out as you go, and instead of waiting till the very last minute. And that's where a lot of times, too, is people lose passion for life, because they've given everything to their job, and their entire job becomes their identity. In a lot of cases, it should be that way. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to, like, going to the field, like, if we're going to Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever the next bad place might be, Cleveland, I don't know. If we're going there, you need that to be your total identity while you're going on deployment. But when you come back, you need to bring all yourself back and figure out who the fuck you are again. If not, you're just going to just, you know, hurt yourself in the long run.
Yeah, you have to find yourself, like, towards the end, because, you know, eventually we're going to wear the uniform one more time, get that DD-214, get the retirement benefits and the VA disability, and then you have to figure out what you want to do as an adult, because the Navy and the military is only a short time. It ends in a blink of an eye.
Fuck yeah, it does, man. It goes too fast. Like, and then you're doing the coins thing now, so that's what's awesome. Trash Panda, who's your partner?
Chris Malahona. He's Malahona. Active duty out of Oak Harbor right now.
Okay, cool. So you flip-flop. Is he a corpsman also, or?
No, he's in the aviation side of things. He's actually okay. Teaching in one of the schoolhouses out there.
What we do, and we don't know, we pretend like it's a secret and we don't want to give it away. We can't talk about his rate right now. No,
can't talk about the rate, but
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he does stuff with birds.
He teaches the stuff about birds.
They fly.
But I do have a gift for you, Josh.
Say what?
I do have a gift.
Okay.
Since you allowed Trash Panda Challenge coins to come up this way, we finally got to meet after a year. I want to hand you these things. These are the most recent.
I'm all about things.
Coins. Whoa, I gave you. Yeah. If you want, show them for the camera.
Oh, dude, even better. Yeah, I have to. That'd be kind of a dick if I just put them in my pocket right now. Oh, so this is... Oh, you guys do patches too? Like, look, yep. Check it out. That's a Trash Panda.
I delved into the patch world too as an experiment. The patches came out pretty good.
Dude, that's cool.
That color is actually the first...
Brand? Was it green? Yeah, because I missed out on the greens.
That was a green one, yep.
You know what? I can put this on my backpack right now. I love it. Oh, dude, I got to show this again. So, on the front, it's even got a fucking first class curl. I love it. So that's the Trash Panda thing. Yep. And then these are the coins. Yep. So these are like the it's a raccoon. That's for the Trash Panda. All right, yep. Sweet.
This
is like the oil drip thing we were talking about. Oh, so this is what oil drip means. Yep. If you were talking about the oil drip
coins. That's the oil drip one.
But let's get the one with the color stuff so I can pull this out and show the peoples.
And that one is what we dub Trash Sparrow.
This one, what is it called?
Trash Sparrow.
Trash Sparrow, I love it.
It's yeah, a little, Jack Sparrow. It's a little bit of a take from Jack Sparrow.
And what's it? Is it the core values on the back? And there's as the back. There's the back.
All the ranks, you know, represented from, you know, enlisted to officer.
Oh, cool, man.
Since we did have one of the warrant officers who supported me in there. So we had to go ahead and include that community also.
Yeah, it sucks because like the CBs got rid of their warrants a while back.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, our communities, and we had some pretty cool fucking warrant officers. They're pretty much the Master Chiefs that just still liked fucking going up, getting ranked up. So, like, you know what? I'm maxed out. I think I should try for one more. Okay, so better look at what oil drip means. Because I didn't understand, like, these are, like, people really dig this color, man. I never, this is the first one I ever held. I'm not lying. I never held one of these, like, oil drip coins. Now I own one. Yay.
Some people love the oil drip variants. Some just like the different colors. And no, you're limited to your imagination to what you want to do with the coins.
So going back to the whole coin thing, like the whole, is there like significance in colors when it comes to some of these, or
you're limited, just, you're limited to the imagination.
Yeah, so you probably, everybody has their own thing going on. Like oil drip, that's like the 1 in 25 variant. You know,
so coining was initially, and this is how you and I actually got started, where, you know, coining opened a door for this to happen of mentorship, conversation, and, you know, a year building of a friendship. And that's where I want to kind of bring coining back to, was start to pass this hobby to junior sailors. And one of the things I've done so far and will continue to do with Trash Panda Challenge Coins is, you know, I will be relying on the senior enlisted leaders and the first class of the chiefs or whatnot to, hey, I got this junior sailor who's, you know, done this, that, or the other. And I'm like, you know what? Here's a free variant for your guy. Even you will not get this variant. Your guy who you're wanting to take care of and you want to teach him about this hobby and, you know, increase that morale and their spirit to core, I will continue to send them, you know, these kind of variants so that they show that there's life outside and there's other things that can come from the military.
Yeah,
it's just my way of slowly trying to open up new doors and create more happiness in the military right now.
One of the things with the coins, it's really cool, speaking a lot about the esprit de corps and all that, and it's silly because it takes me a long time, so I'll trim this long story short. I was in Okinawa, got in a lot of trouble, went on restriction. On restriction, the results came out for second class. I made second, but I was on restriction. And thanks to Mike Sigler, Master Chief retired, and Austin Leadham, Master Chief retired, at the end of the whole thing, they didn't take my name off the list. They saw my name on the list. They grabbed me. They slid me in the line up for all the people to get frocked. Should I have been on that list? I don't know. But I know Leadham and Sigler were the two cats that made sure I fucking did it, dude. So, like, I got off restriction, instantly get slid into a line. I'm about ready to watch people get frocked and thinking, I fucked up. All right, well, next year or next time I'll make it, whatever. No, I got slid in the line. They frocked me to second class. I went to a field exercise right after that. They bumped me up to squad leader. Although I was in trouble, I did my time, though. You know what I mean? They're like, you did your time, but I was an instructor, so I know exactly what we needed to do in the field. So they bumped me up to squad leader, sent me on a detail, sent me to Pohang, Korea. And Mike Murley, Master Chief Murley, awesome guy. We get there, and it was like our battalion's birthday for whatever year it was for NMCB4. And we all got these coins and for our battalion birthday. But we were gangster, man. Like, there, our whole, like, detail, and they kind of sent me there as, like, trouble, you know, because it was, like, you know, basically our version of, like, that place. Where do they send you in Russia when it's bad? Send him to...
Oh, the gulag.
No. What was the coldest place possible? I forget what it's called.
Siberia. Let's go to Siberia.
That's exactly what it was. This was like battalion Siberia. They thought they were sending me to Siberia. No. I went to a place that had all the cool people that pretty much got sent to Siberia, like myself. And our thing was, we drank every fucking night. We even had our own bar in our little compound. And we had pub watch instead of like a watch. You had to stand pub watch, E5 and below, you know, and that was awesome. And then, like, E1 through 3 had to stand duty driver, and they had to go out in town to get us drunks and bring us home up until X amount of hours. Anyways, long story longer, that was a thing. We would have our command coin, and we'd fucking pound it on the bar, because you knew, and everybody had to run up from our debt, and it'd just be people out of freaking nowhere showing up to pound on the thing. And every once in a while, there'll be other other commands that would show up as well. Had no clue what was going on. They just seen us doing the whole run through and doing that, and then they would join in too because they have a similar coin thing going on. Because if you were the last person to the bar, you were buying the rounds. You know, so it'd be like you'd be buying like 12, 15 beers sometimes, you know, and granted, this is Pohang, Korea, so it wasn't too expensive, but it wasn't cheap, you know what I'm saying? Oh, good times. And that's where it's like, that's for me, that's like the epitome of coins. It's just like, that was for me, that was the most important time, the most significant time that coins came into play. Somewhere I still have that coin too, so I'm pretty stoked about that, man. You know. Is there anything else you want to bring up about the coins, or what's a good way to get a hold of you guys? Where's the Facebook group? There's a group, right?
There is a group. Just look up Trash Panda Challenge Coins. Yeah. You can look it up on Facebook. So the blog page will also come up along with the group. Find it, request entry, and just answer the questions about the rules that we have set up, and we'll let you in.
There's rules of the road.
It's more of just be respectful and understanding that coining is meant to be mentorship, fun, and conversation.
That's the thing too. Is like another thing I always liked in Fallujah and places like that. And then I did a lot of work for SEAL Team 3, and I did a lot of work for some of the other Marine units. And I never gave a fuck about ever getting an AM. I never wanted anything for my uniform. Like, I was maxed out on award points. I never wanted to pay another dollar on ribbons and medals. Like, some people love ribbons and medals. I don't give a shit. I don't even know where my shit was a year before I retired. I didn't even know where my ribbons and medals were. I still don't. I never cared. But when it came to the, like, legit in your eyes thank you, that meant a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take that back. I was really proud of one NCD. They gave me an AM for updating some stuff, and I was proud of the one I got from the FIB. You know, they helped me out. You know, like, they're thanking me for some shit I busted my fucking ass for. Those are awesome. You know, those are the only, like, awards I really cared about. The rest, who cares? But coins, man, there's a lot of personality that goes behind that, you know? And also, not just the coin itself. Like you know my sticker, right? There's a lot of things that... My stickers. And the coins is the same way. And a lot of times, you know, coins become stickers. And obviously, they become Velcro patches as well. And The art that goes behind that, there's a lot of thought that goes into what you're developing, what you're trying to say on these things. You know, the second you look at them and the longer you look at a lot of these coins, you're just like, what the fuck? Okay, so that has more meaning. Oh, you're putting all the ranks in here because these guys are the ones that are showing interest in you. So you got to give it back. You know, I think that's really neat, man. It's kind of crazy how easy it is to say thank you, and how hard it is for some people to do it. And then with a coin, it's like really easy. Come on, you fucking... Try and pull up some... See if there's any questions or anything like that.
Yeah.
I do say... Roger Strokland wrote a book. He's a CB. And... or was a CB also. And, like, I gotta definitely talk about some of this shit. You know, I forget what the title is, so I got to find what the hell the title was. He sent me one, too. Damn it. I'll talk about that on another podcast. But I'm really stoked that, you know, Stevie wrote a book. Strokeland did. Good stuff. Because most of us, like, our motto is build and fight. Can't read and write. So when a Stevie writes a book, and it's not for coloring, that's very important. What's up, buddy? Love you, brothers. We got, like, a lot of those comments. All right, so my apologies. I can't pull the fucking comments up on the laptop. So much for that.
We'll get back to the comments. Yeah, we'll follow up and hit the RFIs afterwards.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to say to the loving public out there? I want to say thanks again. I'll show this shit. Like, boom. So also, there's a coin that you and I were talking about developing, and I always thought one with an Obi-Wan Kenobi on the back would have been cool, but... And also, you ran into a common friend of ours. And was it you, or is it your partner in crime? Ran into somebody in middle of the United States at a baseball thing.
Oh, Chris Malahona.
Okay, so Chris ran into... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Chris kind of plays baseball for Military War Dogs.
Okay, goes, that's what it was. Yeah.
He plays baseball for Military War Dogs, so he ran into some mutual people.
Yeah, and he's out of nowhere. I was just like, I got a message like, hey, man, I heard about your coin. And I'm like, how the fuck does anybody know about this? Because the only people that knew about this was you, me, him, Master Chief Delbert, Terrell knows, because I'm stealing one, not stealing, we don't do that in Stevie's. I'm skillfully acquiring his logo on one side, and I'm doing something else on the back that I got to show you my new idea. And it's all drawn out. So it's only thing is I need better art. You know, I look like I'm more autistic than artistic when it comes down to putting this on. Anyway, cool coins. This is awesome. All right. Anything else you want to say? Instagrams, stuff like that. Nothing.
We're on it. We're on Instagram. Chris tends to handle the Instagram stuff since he's more Instagram savvy.
Gotcha.
I'm more on the Facebook and coming up with design and networking and things of that nature. But yeah, we'll keep working on your coin for you.
Hell yeah.
And like we discussed, you guys will eventually see it come out and hit the streets.
Sure. And how long does it usually take from design to like getting it out?
All depends. If you already have a concept ready to go, yep, it could take anywhere from, you know, six to 7 weeks.
Okay.
From art design to molding to, you know,
receiving. So if you just told everybody 2 months, that's a safe freaking bet.
About two and a half months. Because sometimes it's a little bit back and forth. You might see a change in the art.
Right.
Once, you know.
Because I've seen, like, one of the things you were posting, like, one of the things, too, is that's one thing I'm very impressed with your work ethic. Because you, sir, are always working when it comes to this. And also, I think one came back and you're like, maybe the Wonder Woman one, or it was one of them. And you're like, I wasn't happy with the quality of this, so I'm sending it back and we're going to have this fixed. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure this is good to go, you know, and you're talking about that. And first caller to call in or whatever Facebook it is, you're going to get a free coin or something like that. I was like, that's cool, man.
So, yeah, it was a minor oversight from the company that, you know, made it. I did initially want to serialize. Didn't come back serialized, but a lot of the feedback from the community, which I'm thankful for to this day, was it was still a beautiful coin. They still supported it. They still wanted it. So, you know, ended up sending a thank you letter and some free gifts to everybody who ordered that one.
Cool.
Pre-sale that one.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's cool too, is your product. You'd rather like, you know, have it right than anything, you know? So that's cool. Anything else you want to put out there? No,
I think that's it, Josh.
And all right.
I'm just thankful to take some of your time and get up on this podcast. Bro.
Same. I'll show you how to, like, if you want after this, we'll walk through the editing unless you're in a hurry or whatever. So, but I do got to say is August 27th, I'm going to be in Folsom. There's a motorcycle ride for a fallen CB. Awesome guy. At Jake's Journey Home, his mom put together this foundation that helps homeless veterans get off the streets, get an education. They also have like a halfway house for veterans. And if you're not a veteran, they still help you out. But it's just, you know, it's basically under the veteran umbrella. It's like, you know what, though, man? If you actually want to get clean and you're trying to get off this stuff, then, you know, and that's the thing with sobriety or anything like that. You have to want it to be there, you know? And if you don't, that's totally on you. But the cool thing is with this ride, they're putting a lot of, it's a big motorcycle ride from Folsom Harley-Davidson to Eagles and Stockton, or vice versa. I fucked it all up. Anyways, it's from a Harley-Davidson. Anyways, it's a big motorcycle ride. I'll be raffling all kinds of shit. It's August 27th. The dates, everything else, it's on my regular Facebook page if you want to go there. If not, I will butcher them. I've lived in at least 200 hotels in the last 200 days, so I'm always on the road, so my mind is so butchered on what comedy club or where I'm at next. But this is one that's near and dear to my heart, so I can definitely tell you, August 27th, Folsom, California. I will be there. And you should be too. And just come hang out. I will sign autographs. I'll give stickers out to anybody that shows up. Whatever, you know. And it's for a very good cause. And this is actually one of my junior troops also. You know, so anything I can do to help out. And, you know, the community that gives me everything, I want to make sure I give back as much as I take. And leave it better than you found it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So anything else you want to add one more time? Before we close out,
Trash Panda Challenge coins.
Trash Panda Challenge coins, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks again, Josh, as always.
Oh, you got it. So, hey, For all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos and never, ever forget. Obi loves you. That's me. We'll talk to you later. Bye. We're out. Awesome.
Yo, and Cohen's a plan.